did you actually become a real estate agent?
So I was sort of speaking to a mentor, and I was 25 at the time, and he asked me, or 24, and he asked me, Kurt, in 5 years' time, if you were still trying to chase the music dream with two casual jobs, would you and your partner be happy?
Probably not.
And I was like, as much as I wanted the edge here and dream, let's say, I was like, probably not. Probably.
Well, that's good. Well, that's probably a good way of starting into today's episode. We're going to focus on how you become a real estate agent in Sydney.
So welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawfer. I'm the real estate agent, or a selling agent, and with me and forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. I didn't get that wrong.
Turns out I still can't nail this intro.
That's okay, only number 32 and counting.
Yes, so thank you to our 34 subscribers and everyone that watches every week. You're amazing, legends. Let's keep it rolling.
Always appreciate it. So today's episode focused on trying to pull that curtain back and say, if you're interested, and hopefully this is attractive to people out there, how do you become a real estate agent? And so we can throw it very quickly. It's going to be more of a Q&A time to you, Kurt. How did you, I know you talked about mentor there, but how did you discover a real estate agent as a pathway?
So originally, once I had that thought bubble of being like, I need to find something, I didn't want to go to uni. I didn't want to just do a course that I wasn't interested, because I really struggled to work out, besides music, what am I actually interested in? Mm. And as I said, I didn't want to spend a long time doing some education that I wasn't not sure. So I just was like, what's the easiest thing I can get into with the lowest qualification?
We're really setting the bar low here, Kurt.
We're just...
Great profession. Yeah.
For people that don't, like, you know, what's something you can get, entry-level job, good minimum wage type thing, which in real estate happens to be about 60K at least,
yep.
Minimum.
Yep.
And for me, it ticked a lot of boxes, most of the boxes. You're never going to find something you're 100% happy with, but I was like, you know what, you're speaking with people, you're up and about, you can be yourself.
So to become a real estate agent, or in a very nutshell, you got to get a certificate.
Yeah,
work under someone for 2 years, or is it current class one real estate license, which is a fair way of saying they're doing the job.
Yeah, so to get into real estate, it's simple in the terms of you just need to complete the first 5 units of your class two license, called your certificate of registration. Once you have that, you can speak to people, you can do most things in real estate, and then you need to complete the other 15 units, I believe, to get your class two within 4 years. But if you're doing a traineeship, which a lot of companies try and offer,
yep.
It's generally within 2 years, which you're better off to get it done sooner rather than later.
So you're there, you've made the decision yourself. I don't think you've got like a friend or family who introduced you to somebody. So you're jumping on like the likes of Seek and so forth.
Yep.
And you're getting these adverts that say uncapped commissions, you can earn 150 grand plus. All true? What they posed in those advertisements to the reality?
So some advertisements were quite good in terms of just saying, you know, the giving you the salary between 60, 70K, something like that. You're mm-hmm. a sales associate, which you're someone's right-hand man, whether you're making the calls, it depends on how the
man
person...
Man or woman. saved it.
And you just... Some you saw ridiculous amounts. Like I came across one that said $150,000 for a beginner or first year, because it was based on you selling a house a month. But my expectations, my understanding and experience is, if you're the first year in real estate, it is going to be very tough for you to be able to bring in a property and also potentially sell it. Now, selling is a little bit easier if you've already got the property, like your agent's brought it in, because they're going to bring you on, they're going to help you try and sell it. You're going to be working very closely. You're going to learn to be negotiating. So you're not really going to have the chance.
I can imagine, cut you off a little bit, but I imagine, you know, if I'm selling my house and someone comes in and I ask them how long have they been doing it, and they say a week, there is an element of, you know, I'm not saying you need 20 years experience, but you do need, I believe, some experience there for people to go, I'm going to trust you to sell my property. If you've been doing this a week, I'm not going. So it makes sense, right? That one property a month is probably unrealistic, because there needs to be a lead up phase of shadowing, go inspections, learning the trade before that actually happens.
Yes. And no matter how much people say or make up stories, basically you just can't enter into an industry, particularly like real estate, and know what you're speaking about. There are so many, there's laws, legislation, there's just different things you need to be aware of, and even the general person wanting to sell their home might have a better understanding sometimes, or you might be saying something that just sounds really off and funny if you haven't had that experience of being nurtured
by someone. I think it's like anything, you just apply like a surgeon, you could read 1,000 theory books on how to do surgery, but you couldn't do a surgery, right? And there's just this life experience of how things just move and malleable and move along that you only get from doing that. So would you describe entering into the field as easy, sort of 9 to 5? What does it sort of look and feel like, or has it been?
So contractually, it is 9 to 5, and you generally will have an RDO between Monday to Friday. Generally, it will be a Tuesday or a Friday.
Right.
Because Monday...
RDO is what?
Registered day off? Is it? I don't know. It just means you get a day off during the week because you work on the Saturdays. And Monday and Thursdays are generally for callbacks, Wednesday for open homes. So Tuesday and Friday is generally the days.
At work, one of those 2 days going to work, okay?
Yeah.
So it's 9 to 5 though?
No.
Okay, so when you say no...
So in your contract, it will say 9 to 5, but if you do have ambitions of going somewhere in real estate or trying to make it even just not the top 1%, but just a really good agent, it's going to be more than 38 hours a week.
Right, okay, so definitely exponentially more. So not for the faint-hearted. Probably someone couldn't do this job at 38 or 30 hours or 22 hours a week in a part-time basis.
No.
Okay, that's good. What about in terms of ramping up, you know, really making sure, you know, when you start off, you know, you're obviously learning a lot. I talk a little bit about, you know, I'm an ex-school teacher and trainer, a thing called skill versus will, right? So when you first start a job, your skill is very high. Your will is very high. I should refer to that. Yep. Your will is very high. You really want to do well. Your skill is zero, or thereabouts. Over time, if you graph it, you plot it out, your skill will go up, and your will, whilst you'd like to think it's a remains high, thing called burnout can seep in and start to come down. What do you do, or what have you learned to try and balance having the skill go up but managing that burnout, or to maintain your will?
You constantly need to be checking yourself and understanding how you're actually feeling. So I've been in it where I've gone way too hard, where I was waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning, doing 2 hours of letterbox drops. I was then work for 10 to 12 hours. And then for some reason at the same time, I was trying to write a song a day. so that was a little bit on my fault. And I did that for a period of time.
Yep.
And it actually just crushed me for the next few months because my body was trying to recover. So it's always... there's going to be days where you're going to be doing longer hours, but also sometimes there'll be a moment in time or a day or even potentially a week where you might need to be like, do you know what? I just need to check myself here. Can I potentially be getting off, you know, instead of working back to 7 o'clock, and I just, you know, can I work, finish at 5, make sure I get everything done and just make sure I've got enough fuel in the tank to keep going? Because a lot of us decide to take a break when the fuel tank is empty.
Yep.
When you should
be takes a lot longer to replenish.
Exactly. Where you should be taking a break somewhere, I don't know, maybe we've still some fuel left in the tank to keep
going. I think it's Dave Goggins talks about, you know, the mentality of having a fuel tank and burning. He's obviously quite a disciplined person. But I think even he would say each person is going to be have variations on what works for them. And I like your point about knowing it's very hard to. You need a really, really good mentor, I think, to balance that.
Yeah.
In terms of you work for Shed, Shed Property, how did you find them? Was that through Seek, through door knocking? Was that through a family and friend? How did you get to know them?
Through Seek. They actually used a recruitment company to find them. I was quite lucky. So originally I'm from the Central Coast, which if any of you guys don't know is... 1.5, 2 hours north of Sydney.
Yep.
So for the first 12 weeks, I was driving 2 hours every day to work, working 10 to 12 hours and then driving 2 hours back. So they took a risk in hiring me because people do come into the industry and it just doesn't work out, unfortunately.
Well, all that travel, even though somebody says, oh, I will move, and I'm an ex-recruiter, I did that for 12 years, people will say they're a future employer, yes, I will move, or well, they may have good intention to move, but then they find a job around the corner.
Yeah.
Or they just get burnt out from the drive and actually don't move. So it was a big risk, I'd say, they took on you.
Now, some people might be
which surprised me, because when you get to know you, I'm still not sure.
So some people might be like, why are you working 2 hours away? My partner, who had just got a bachelor's as an architect, was looking for a job in Sydney, which is why I started aiming for jobs in Sydney.
So. Nice. Okay. And then in terms of deciding, then did you have interviews with other agencies? Like, what was it just them? Or why would you, and now knowing, actually even looking where you are now, more importantly, maybe they're naming them potentially, but like good agencies, bad agencies, for someone to join when they're starting off, let's give that bit of nugget. What sort of, describe the agency, either name them or describe what they look like, that you'd want to encourage people to be joining the industry day one?
I think, first of all, trying to get into potentially a bigger agency, just to learn the craft of working hard.
Yep.
I think that's probably the bigger thing to self. Don't think you're going to be you're going to earn $1 million in commission in the first year, the first two, even the first couple of years. It should be getting processes in play. Only thing I'd say is, if something doesn't feel right in the industry or the company you're at, whether it's the ethics or whether, I do know, unfortunately, there are some behaviours or...
Probably linked ethics.
Yeah, activities that that just aren't great within some agencies, yep, or some offices, I should say. So join, just get into the industry, work really hard, and then work out where do you want to be. So for an example, Ray White is often quite a hard-hitting agency where they're just ruthless, they're on the phones, they're making calls.
And you heard it here first.
He's
black labeling them, black
naming. And if that's your personality, then where you're just...
I don't think it's a bad one to join. I'm not saying forever, but they're disciplined, they've got training, they've got everything scheduled. They're quite often big offices to join, so tick a lot of the boxes. Is it a long-term career prosperity? That's up to you as an individual to come in with eyes wide open.
Whereas, so I actually originally interviewed for Ray White for a job even further south.
Of course you did.
2.5 hours away. And then, you know, didn't get with that, but then had an interview with Shed, and it just seemed to work out.
Just clicked.
And Shed was more of a nurturing agency.
Yeah.
Big on nurturing talent, and...
And I think you've commented before to me anyway that whilst it's been great, nurturing and so forth, they probably didn't have as much of a discipline, like do this many calls. Not saying they didn't want you to, but had you joined somewhere else where there's four graduates all starting or four new entries all starting at the same time, the expectation and the roboticness is there day one, where these guys probably supported, developed, mentored you, but maybe you had to give yourself a bit of a kick up the ass to...
Probably not a kick up the ass, but... My personality was like, how can I always do better? So it works for me. So I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I can take that next step up. Whereas if I had gone into the Ray White or a very just driven, like a really, really just numbers driven company, I might have got it burnt out. Yeah. So it depends. Just get into the industry. It's not as hard as you think, but it's an industry where you need to be understand that you need to work hard. And if you're in an interview and you say, you're here for the 38 hours and make sort of those comments where you're not going to put in any extra, which is also 100% your right with the laws of working and all that. But there's going to be someone that's going to want to do 50 hours and are happy to do that, and they're probably going to get the nod over you as well.
Yeah. So, Luke, back to a question or point you said earlier on about the one property per month. At what point do you think in a career would that be more likely to be occurring? So you're saying the first 12 months, it's probably unlikely. Is that something you start to achieve in your second year, third year? Obviously, it's different for everybody. What would you...
I think a couple of things. It depends on the market at the time.
Yep.
So very much from my experience, I joined once interest rates started going up.
Great time.
A great time. So before that, when COVID, a lot of people were calling into the office, would call into the office or being like, can you sell a home? And it was a lot easier. Now, a lot of agents, we actually have had a lot of agents leave the industry because there was this amazing time in real estate where they didn't have to nurture people. They didn't have to be keep in contact with someone for 5 to 6 years and really nurture that relationship.
Yep.
Now it's, you know, I've been speaking to some people in 2-3 years and then still might not be selling for another 3 because it's just not the right time. So it's about, yeah, building that relationship. What, I forgot the question.
Yeah, how long will it take you to sell a property a month? Yeah, it's a thing in there, is it?
I reckon 4 years.
You know, so 4 year mark, you sort of smash.
I reckon by the 4th year mark, you should be aiming to be on that trajectory. Obviously quicker, if you can be there quicker, brilliant.
Yep.
But as long as you've got the processes in place, you are genuinely working hard to yourself.
Because I think the thing to confuse it with, or just to clarify, it doesn't mean you're not selling houses, but you're working with a team and they're getting the listings, and you're currently, like, or as you start, you're listing those properties. And then over time you start, we're talking about you bringing the property online. Yes. So it doesn't mean you haven't sold hundreds of properties. We're just talking about the ones that you've had the first engagement and actually brought the person on.
And you've nurtured that relationship, because it'll get to a point where the top agent, generally how it works, you work in teams of three. There are other ways to do it. You've got the top agent, a second agent, and then the bottom agent who sort of just calls. He's doing all the calls and sort of turning the cold leads into warm.
Yep.
And that's, yeah.
There you go. Okay, let's get into 3 quick Qs. Where are your timing? I shooting to you? Are you shooting to me?
You've asked enough questions, Chris. I'm going to hit half of 3 quick Qs.
Okay, go for it.
What inspired you to be a buyer's agent? Actually, change. Why didn't you become a selling agent?
I'd be too bored watching going back to the same property each and every week. Honestly, there was that point. I was like, I can't go back to the same property. You might have to go back to property 10, 12, 15 times. And that would be 5 months. That would be boring, my friend. Good question.
Fair enough. How many real estate companies can you name?
I don't know. Do you want to try?
You got 20 seconds. I'll give you 30.
Okay, Ray White, Rain and Horn, McGrath, Stone, MGN, Shed. Who else are you going to go with? Cobden Hayson, True Property, MGM. How are we going? Is that enough?
One more to make it 10.
Actually, I'm right out. Who was the other one over there? I can see their logo over in Minor.
Minor.
Yeah.
Perfect. You could have also added Bell and Di Jones there.
Bell, Di Jones. I like both. Di Jones. Oh.
Perfect.
Sorry. Sorry, Henry, for Di Jones, and sorry, Simone and Peter and the team and Alex at Cobden Hayson. No, Bell.
Question 3. On a weird, wacky scale, on a scale of between 5 and 13.5, how much will you miss me while I'm in Europe in the next couple of weeks?
What was the scale?
On a scale of 5 to 13.5, how much will you miss me whilst I'm away in Europe for a couple of weeks?
I mean, no comment, but I won't have to deal with those sort of questions. That's a simple way of getting through that one. All right, very good.
Perfect.
Next week's episode is going to be kind of flip it around.
Yep, I'm going to ask Chris about a buyer's agent, because that's a lot more uncommon than a selling agent. They're starting to become more common, but I'd say obviously selling agents have been around for ages. But if you've got anyone looking at entering the industry, you've got any questions, or still other episodes regarding just buying and selling in the market, share it with a friend.
Share it with a friend, look at it. So next week, how to become a buyer's agent. This week, how to become a selling agent. Thanks for stopping by.